Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, SFO won't be the airport of choice for the next 6 months as runway resurfacing and FAA rules cut the number of flights allowed to arrive each hour. And diners are rebelling against QR code menus. Those stories next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20, we tell you one of the single most important things that you can do to stay healthy on the road. You may be surprised at the answer.
At 11:35, travel analyst Chip Lupo tells us the reasoning behind which frequent flyer programs Wallet Hub says are the best.
Travel influencers are all over the internet, and not necessarily in a good way. Mark has some opinions about travel influencers and shares them with us at about 11:50. Why do I have the feeling a rant might be coming up?
Me? Rant on the air? In our 20 years together on the show, it's never happened. Well, maybe once or twice. But only because we are full of opinions. We're full of opinions. Yeah, that's us. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A good Saturday morning to you. Mark's right over there, I'm right over here. We're all brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, I hope you've had a wonderful week. Here we are, ready to do it all again.
We are. And full disclosure here, we should tell folks that because the Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day is being held this Saturday morning, right now as we speak, it's actually in progress. The show was taped on Friday evening.
Well, there you go. Full disclosure.
There
you go. And with all that being said, there should be virtually no mistakes during this program because
there should be virtually no mistakes. Preview day today. Last weekend, we went down and saw the Giants. Too bad. We saw the Giants and the Yankees was what they advertised, but unfortunately, only the Yankees showed up.
Well, sometimes that happens. But, here we are. Here we are a week later, and I can't say that things have improved. Giants have won some games, as you were hoping for. You finally saw the Giants not only get a hit, but a few runs along the way. So we wish them well. By the way, you have many, many trips to San Francisco with Giants baseball throughout the year with Sports Leisure Vacations. Are people booking those pretty regularly?
We do, and the reason I haven't really mentioned them much here is that we have about 8 or 9 on the schedule. Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks are the first ones up. Dodger game's been sold out for a long time. I think the Padre game is sold out or close to it. If you want to go to a baseball game in San Francisco, there is really no better way than to take a motor coach down there because the traffic to and from the city, if you've driven down there in the last couple of years, you know it's crazy pretty much all the time. And it takes forever to get there and forever to get back. So why not just be on the bus and be able to relax on the way home? You can have a glass of wine or a beer on the way home and not have to worry about it because you're not driving.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
And we have some pretty good seats at the ballpark, too, I might add.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. If I were going on my own, I would do my best to see if I could grab one of the seats in that particular level. It's worth the extra bucks, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, if you're going to the ballpark, the club level in San Francisco is the second level and really offers a great perspective of the whole field because if you're on the ground level, you're close, but it's hard to see what's going on the other side of the field. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're up a little bit, then you have that perspective. But anyway, it's baseball season, and all is good in the world.
And by golly, it's travel season every day of the year. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, the Travel Guy, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
We've got all kinds of stuff here. United Airlines is up on top here with a number of things. United has added TSA wait times to its mobile app. Oh. Now, I realize that the TSA guys have gone back and gals have gone back to work, and hypothetically things are much better all over the country. I've been watching the lines in Houston that were 4 and 5 hours until that was all worked out over last weekend, and now the TSA people have been paid. What we haven't been told, though, is whether or not did they just get all their back pay, and now are they in limbo again? Or did the president, wherever he came up with those funds, is that money going to continue to pay them until they reach some sort of agreement? Meanwhile, Congress is on vacation. How convenient. No matter which team you play for, those people seem to take a tremendous number of vacations. But anyways, we have TSA people again, and United Airlines has added some wait times, and also most airports, including Sacramento. The airport has a slot on its app where you can find out what the wait time is at the airport. So, of course, if you've waited until an hour and a half beforehand and you haven't left the house and you're checking in, now you're maybe in trouble if it says if it doesn't give you the right timing. But
you know, they sure got back at it, and those lines got really, really short, really quick. I was kind of surprised at how quick the improvements occurred.
So United has decided their mobile app at least will give you some TSA clues as to I still think I'd rely on the airport app a little bit more, just because I'm thinking that United is probably getting its information from the airport apps. Mm-hmm. Just my guess. United also, we've talked on this show quite a bit in the last couple of years about how airlines don't really make money moving people around in the air anymore. They make money off of selling seats to you, making you pay to check your bag, and also the credit card that you use. Well, if there was any doubt in your mind whatsoever that that was the case, United Airlines proved you wrong last week. They have made some changes to how miles are awarded. And it basically, if you fly United and you don't have a United credit card, you're not buying your tickets with a United credit card, you are not going to get nearly as many miles as people who do. So the bottom line to this is that, without going into great details on the changes, is that people who have United branded credit cards and use them to buy tickets are going to be rewarded with many, many more miles than people who do not. And also basic economy tickets are going to be much more restricted in how miles are earned. So the airlines are tightening up a little bit. And basically what they're telling you is that, hey, if you want to get to the top tiers in our airline, spend a lot of money on our credit card. And that's what will get you there. So there you go. Speaking of the TSA shutdown, here's an interesting article, Tom. Study finds TSA shutdown will impact how Americans vote. Now, it doesn't necessarily tell you which team they're going to vote for. It just says that 75% of respondents said they would consider a political candidate's record on aviation security in the next election, with Democratic, Republican, and independent voters all voicing support for that concept. In other words, if you were a donkey, you probably liked the way the donkeys played the whole thing. And if you were an elephant, you probably liked the way the elephants played the whole thing. And that's probably the way that you're going to vote. So this has at least a bearing. It may not change many votes, but people were paying attention. The longer they waited in line, the more attention they were paying. Hawaii got 30 inches of rain.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I saw the videos in the news, the mudslides, and something that I have a close friend that lives on the Big Island. And, I mean, he showed pictures of his backyard. He had one of those zero-gravity pools that's just kind of flat, and it had waves. It was crazy.
Yeah. Up to 30 inches. Several islands recorded record rainfalls. Reason I bring this up is we're now a couple weeks past that. Many of the places that had some pretty serious flooding have recovered. But if you are headed to Hawaii, if you're scheduled to go there in the next, I'd say, 4 to 6 weeks, do your homework and just make sure that where you're going and the things that you want to do are there. And because there are some travel waivers in effect, but if you wait another month, those waivers are going to be gone. So if you have already planned a trip to Hawaii in the short term, my suggestion is that you do a little homework and double check, make sure that your hotel and attractions and things that you want to visit, because some people go to the islands and they're like, you know, I just want to get back over there so I can go to Kauai and do X.
Right.
Because that was the coolest thing I ever did in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay a lot of money to go back over there only to find out that, gosh, if you'd have known that your favorite attraction was shut down and or it's had received some damage and stuff like that, maybe they're only partially open or something. So do your homework. Speaking of doing your homework, the FAA says that they are slashing San Francisco's maximum hourly flight arrivals. So during normal circumstances, United has these two, not United, San Francisco has these two side-by-side runways, and the FAA allows them 54 arrivals per hour. So they were going to cut it down to 45 while some runway resurfacing was being done. Now they've decided to cut it down to 36. So basically they've cut a third of the arrivals on these two runways out. So that means that there are going to be fewer planes coming in. If there are fewer planes coming in, there'll be fewer planes going out, and there will be a lot of delays. The problem with this is the puddle jumper from Sacramento, that's what we call it, you know, the 18-minute flight to San Francisco that's blocked in an hour so that they can taxi out to the runway and maneuver a little bit and mm-hmm. have plenty of time in San Francisco. Those are the flights that frequently get knocked out. So the Sacramento flight, the Monterey flights, the flights Santa Rosa, the flights that are really, really short from San Francisco. So buyer beware over the next 6 months. If you're one of those folks who takes the puddle jumper to San Francisco or from San Francisco for international flights or cross-country flights or whatever it is that you can't get from Sacramento, beware, because there's going to be a lot of chaos in SFO potentially over the next 6 months, especially over the summer months. So be very careful. Here's a little survey, some results. Have you ever been a victim of credit card fraud when traveling? Travelers United asks. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had credit card fraud occur while you were traveling?
I have not. But that's
fortunate
a good question.
For you, because 54% of people say that they have had some issues.
Wow.
While traveling. 50, that's more than half.
That's large.
The good news is 34% of those people, so two-thirds of the people who had problems, say the credit card made it right. Company. 9% said, yeah, they made it right, but took a lot of time and effort to get it fixed. And 3% of the people said that, you know, the credit card company didn't help them at all, and they were just stuck with the fraud. So when you're traveling, be aware of credit cards and balances and things like that. We talked last week about some new ways that people are tricking you. You know, they come and present you a bill that's $100 too much, and when you tell them that and they correct it and you think everything is fine, you leave and then they put the $100 back on your bill because they know your bill will tolerate it. Or they run your bill, your card with something else and put $100 on it. So just, you know, be credit cards are something that you want to be aware of, and you don't need to carry 20 of them when you travel. Carry a primary one and maybe a backup, and that's all you need.
Do you think a lot of this has to do with people losing their cards while traveling or not?
I think it's more, I think it's that the scammers are getting way more creative. And I think people's guard is down and they're not careful about how they're not protecting their cards like they should and following some basic rules. So I think when people travel, they, you know, they're having a good time, they're on vacation, they don't worry about that. But the reality is that it's something that you need to pay attention to. I have been scammed more than once, more than twice. So I really recommend that you come back from a vacation and you've used your Visa card. You want to go online and just look at the charges and see that, you know, these are all things that I actually charged when I was out there, and these are the amounts that I charged. Center for Food and Medicine and Longevity reveals that the quality of drinking water varies significantly by airline. Study ranked 11 major and 10 regional airlines by the quality of water they provided on board flights over a three-year period. This is kind of interesting. Now, this is not bottled water, obviously, but water out of the tap. Never, ever, ever drink water out of the tap on an airplane. I don't care what their water score is. American Airlines gets the worst score, 1.75 out of 5, grade D. JetBlue gets a D. Spirit gets a D. United, Hawaiian, and Southwest get Cs. Allegiant and Alaska get Bs. Frontier and Delta. Delta had a perfect score. Best quality of water on an airplane. And again, if you're drinking water out of a tap on an airplane, then it's been really, really nice knowing you.
what kind of a tap do they? I'm trying to envision the airline, the flight attendant going back, and there's a sink with a tap.
Well, they had these water tanks,
right?
And they would fill them up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, tanks can get corrosion and stuff in them, and depends on how often they're cleaned and all of that kind of stuff. Out of a bottle, drink it out of a bottle, or you filled your bottle at the faucet in the airport, so you know what's in it.
Yeah, I mean, once you're past security, you're okay to fill your bottle, and you're okay to put that in your backpack and take it with you.
QR code menus. Have you had this happen to you, Tom, where you're going to a restaurant and there's no menu, and the server tells you, we'll take your phone and hold it up to the QR code and the menu will come up there?
Yeah.
Of course, anybody who has any sort of vision issues, trying to read a menu on a phone is probably not a good idea. If you're 22 and your vision is perfect, why, then that was a terrific idea. Diners are rebelling, and some restaurants have found that the average bill is dropping and that people are ordering. They're especially finding issues with desserts, because after people have thought through the menu, I mean, think about if you had, you wore glasses and you went into the restaurant, and now you've got to look at a menu on a phone, which you've got to enlarge it and move it around and all this kind of stuff. And so are you really going to go back and do that again at the end of the meal in order to get a dessert? That may be why it's falling off. So some restaurants that had QR code menus are going back to the real deal. U.S. hotels have dropped their expectations for the World Cup. They were looking for a forecast of almost 2% increase in revenue per available room during the tournament for cities that the tournament is being held in. Now, not so much. Here's a cute little story. SkyWest CEO accused of delaying flight for daughter. Apparently, a Delta Connection flight operated by SkyWest from Salt Lake City to St. George, Utah, was held up over an hour last week. And nobody really could find out why it was, but it turns out that the airline was saying that it was the crew. It wasn't really the crew, as it turns out. It was the daughter of the CEO of the airline who was having some issues and was delayed, and they held a whole flight of plane,
wow,
whole plane load of people up for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they lied to them.
Oh, my.
So, that's two things. I mean, if you're going to hold, look, the airline CEO is on her way and she's late and we're going to wait for her. And that may not make you very happy, but at least we told you the truth.
Well,
yeah,
there you go. I mean, that's what you call taking, I can't remember the term, but that's what you call taking your authority and
yes,
helping out a family member to the extreme.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the astronauts' menu in space. But we're really, really short on time here. But let me just say, you can go online, just pull up astronaut space menu, and it'll come right up for you. They have some pretty cool stuff, and it's pretty cool to read about how they have to prepare it and what types of things that they take on that trip around the moon with them. So look it up online, if you will. That is your travel news for today.
All right, we're Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And when we return, we're going to talk about the single most important thing that you can do to stay healthy on the road. Can you guess what it is? Well, think about it. We'll tell you when we return. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on Sactown Sports 1140. Let's get into it. This would be kind of fun. Everybody's going to get their guess, and then Mark's going to give us the answer, and then we have to ask him, well, where did you get the answer, and how do you know this to be true? The question is, or the subject that we're talking about, is to how to stay healthy. The most important thing to do to stay healthy on the road. And,
right. And I didn't want to gross people out by saying this in the headlines, but the headline I have that I compiled this from, this simple trick can cut your risk of traveler's diarrhea by 65%.
Oh, you brought the D word into this. That's going to change my guess. My guess before I knew that the D word, I love it when they sing the word diarrhea in that commercial. but my first thought was, you could wear a mask, you know. But now that you brought it the D word up, I'm going to say don't drink the water.
I'm not going to be able to get that out of my brain now. Upset stomach, diarrhea.
Very good. Good. You're hired. Okay. I would guess don't drink the water in any place that you go unless it comes in a bottle.
You know, that is one of the secondary tips here. But really, the simple trick that'll cut your risk of traveler's diarrhea by 65%, carry and take Pepto-Bismol.
Wow.
The active ingredient in Pepto-Bismol causes a reaction in a very, very small number of people. So it's safe for almost everybody. And the key to it is, though, is that you need to be taking the stuff when the garbage gets into your stomach. So if you're traveling and you're in a place where you're kind of suspicious of, you know, what the cleanliness and sanitation and stuff might be, is you can take those up to four times a day. So you can actually be proactive with them and take them before something comes up. And, of course, obviously, if you have an issue, why, then that's kind of an easy go-to thing. But Pepto-Bismol, the single thing, buy a little bottle of it and or some of those chewable tablets. And throw them in your travel bag, and they'll be good for a couple of years, and they will do wonders to protect you. Some other ideas that you might consider. This is from our friends at Travelers United. Order food that's visibly steaming, or ask for it that way, because hot food will kill the germs. So if the food comes to your table and the steam's coming off of it, obviously, it's hot. If it's not, why then, this guy says, I send it back. Tell him, you know, stick it in the microwave for a minute.
Right.
Avoid buffets unless you are there for at the beginning when the buffet is first put out. And beware of places that have lunch and dinner buffets, because some of the dinner food when you arrive, if you come early, will be the leftover lunch food. And you don't know how well it's been protected in the meantime. So beware of buffets. And what you're looking for is a buffet where they're constantly bringing stuff out and turning over, and there are a lot of people, so you know that the food is fresh and that it's hot and that it's been prepared in a way that will get rid of the icky things that are in it.
There you go. You know, I was a big fan for buffet for a long time, but not so much anymore. I don't know. It's difficult to find a buffet where the different types of food just taste like the different types of food instead of all of them kind of running together, where the Chinese tastes like the Mexican, that tastes like the American, and tastes like the, you know, because sometimes buffets, it's not like they're cross-pollinating or something, but some are just a higher quality. And I think that's great advice, particularly the part about ending up eating your dinner buffet, which was leftover lunch buffet.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely something to be, or you're just going to a place where they're not very busy. And that food's been there since 5 o'clock, and now it's 7:30, 7:45. And again, maybe some of it is left over from lunch. So that's just a word of wise. Drink water that came from a bottle whose seal you broke yourself.
You bet.
And the other thing that people need to be aware of when they're traveling, ice. You're drinking your bottled water. They give you a glass full of ice, and you pour your water into the ice, and now you don't know where the ice came from, and now potentially you've caused yourself a problem. Choose fruits you peel yourself. Approach salads with suspicion. Skip the tabletop sauces. You know, there's salsa or there's ketchup or mustard or something, and
right. You
have no idea how long it's been there, who blew their nose into it. I mean, whatever. So, you know, just
gross.
Be careful. But those are just those are things that people hear all the time, but sometimes it's just good to hear them one more time. And remember to stick that bottle of Pepto-Bismol in your suitcase. All right, we got a couple of minutes here. I just wanted to briefly discuss another little topic here. We'll give you a 2-4. This has involved tipping in restaurants. And frequently, you know, they will give you now, frequently the server will hand you the credit card machine, and it's got the tip thing, screen there, and you're finishing up the bill and all that stuff. Beware of something. Some restaurants figure that little machine is asking you to tip 20% of the entire bill, including the tax. And the reality is that fair restaurant procedures, you tip on the cost of the service. You don't tip on tax. So if your bill at the restaurant is $50 bucks And when it comes with tax, it's $55, and you're leaving 20%. You tip 20% on the $50, not 20% on the $55. Most restaurant owners and operators will agree with you on this. There are a few who say, no, you tip on the whole bill, and that's just baloney. It's just baloney. At the risk of alienating a server or two who listen to the program, listen, I believe in tipping servers for good service, particularly after it's been performed, as opposed to beforehand. I'm all about, I realize, maybe not in California, but in many states, people are paid below the minimum wage because the people in government know that gratuities will make up the difference. So just be careful. If you're going to stiff somebody in a restaurant, make sure that you're stiffing the right person. You know, maybe the server did a great job and the food sucked, but that may not be the server's fault. But anyway, be careful about tipping on the entire bill. When the bill comes, take a look at it. If they if they're asking you to tip on the whole thing, do some quick calculation there and save yourself an extra dollar or two, and still leave a fair gratuity for the server, but don't tip on tax. And no matter what anybody tells you, I've been in the travel business for a long time. I use a lot of restaurants. Any restaurant person who tells you that you should be tipping on tax is full of poop.
There you go. Okay. That's one man's opinion, and we have another one. And we'll get to it right after this here on The Travel Guys.
Going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
If you're a mature seasoned traveler and you've heard of sports leisure vacations, but you've never traveled with us before, just know that today, as I speak, we are rolling out all kinds of tours for the holiday season for 2026 and some tours for the beginning of 2027, including our very favorite trip where we take people to Key West. We go to Yellowstone in the wintertime. We're going to see the Firefall in Yosemite next year. God, the rooms are ridiculously priced. But if you've never seen it before, maybe you'll get lucky and the weather will be good and you'll get to see it. Anyway, a whole new lineup of tours from Sports Leisure Vacations. You can find out more by going to sportsleisure.com or giving our office a call. God, it's going to be busy on Monday morning. So wait till Monday afternoon at 916-361-2051. That's 916-361-2051. And if you're a Sports Leisure traveler who didn't attend our preview day today, you'll be receiving an updated newsletter in the mail within the next couple of weeks. But you might want to go to the website and just take a look at some of the new tours, because if you've traveled with our company for a while, you know that some of the stuff, some of our offerings go pretty quickly. So beware of that.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember, a link to our special guests can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Our guest today, we've had him on a couple of times from Wallet Hub. He's a writer and analyst, Chip Lupo. Chip, thanks for joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
We're going to be talking about the best frequent flyer airlines rewards programs out there, and Chip and Wallet Hub has put together a list. And before we get into the list of who's the best and who's the worst and so forth, Chip, tell us a little bit about your methodology you use to come up with your results.
Well, guys, what we did is that we evaluated the rewards programs of the 10 largest U.S. airlines, and we applied 23 key criteria. And those factors include everything from value, points or miles, redemption flexibility, blackout date policies. And from that, we gleaned and then we ranked the top five performing frequent flyer programs. And what we do is that we base those numbers on, we have individual reviews of each of the top 10 frequent flyer programs. And then those include things such as category ratings, editor ratings. And then we apply all of that, and we have a data team that is just above all when it comes to crunching all of these numbers. And essentially, we rank them based on all this criteria. And turns out that for the third year in a row, that the Alaska Atmos Rewards is our best frequent flyer program of 2026.
And I'm not surprised. I'm not an Alaska flyer myself, but, and of course, it's Alaska and Hawaiian now together.
Right.
But I have heard from a number of folks who fly Alaska, In fact, a friend of mine who was a United flyer, he's not crazy about having to fly from Sacramento to Seattle to take off across the country, but he says Alaska's frequent flyer program and their service is so good that he believes that they are the best, by far the best airline. Let me ask you, merchants are now charging 3-4% surcharge on credit cards in a growing number of places. In fact, I'm going to suggest to people that probably by the time the year is out, you will be charged that 3-4% markup to cover the credit card fees more often than you will not be. Or, as some businesses may do, that's what mine does, it's built into the cost of doing business so you don't have to add a surcharge to people's bills. With a 3-4% surcharge on credit card purchases, are the benefits to a frequent flyer program worth more than that, in your opinion?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because this is starting to become sticker shock with a lot of consumers. And this is basically what we call the gas station model, because for years and years and years, you would go to a gas station or convenience store and you would notice that there would be a higher price for a credit card purchase as opposed to cash. And, of course, the difference is that the retailer has to recoup the costs of the credit card processing fees. Now, it has to be understood that this is not a profit grab by these companies. They're simply recouping. In fact, by law, they're not allowed to. This is simply allows them to recoup the cost that it costs that the credit card companies are charging them to be able to use a credit card. And right, and a lot more industries with costs going up and budgets tightening, they're applying these surcharges onto purchases, and airline industry is one of those. And you did say it was like 3-4%, which is accurate, but I still think that it's overall the average savings from a frequent flyer program is worth it, because frequent flyer programs can save travelers on average about 7%, and the programs are free to join, so upfront cost, that's not an obstacle, as opposed to a lot of credit cards. Now, this is another area where you need to be careful when it comes to credit cards, is like any good airline, co-branded airline credit card is likely going to charge you an annual fee.
Right.
Typically starting around $95, and depending on the perk, can be upwards into several hundreds of dollars. Now, again, those can pay for themselves if you're one of these people who can justify using the card every year, justify the cost. Some of your high-end travelers, frequent travelers, big spenders can easily, the card can pay for itself. So that's another thing you need to keep into account. But as far as the frequent flyer programs, it's still beneficial because you're still going to come out on the positive side in terms of savings.
We're talking with Chip from Wallet Hub here about airline frequent flyer programs on the Travel Guys. Chip, the other question becomes whether or not these benefits you're talking about, you make a strong argument, and I agree with you, that a good frequent flyer program can be worth 5-7% in savings to a customer over the course of the year. If you're a reasonably frequent traveler, you fly 2-4 times a year. But then the other thing becomes, I'm a pretty high status guy with United, and the other day I went on to try to find a ticket on a particular route that I could buy with points, only to find out that most of the flights were blocked out. And this was 5-6 months in advance, and it wasn't around a major event or anything like that. So point usage was limited to red eyes, bad connections, things of that sort. So what it becomes is, my question to you is, are the benefits actually available to the average traveler when it comes time to use them? Because you can say that these are the things that you can redeem your miles/points for, but when it comes time to redeem them, if those things are not available, then the worth of that program quickly plummets to zero.
Exactly. And these reward programs, they do come with restrictions like blackout dates, limit availability on popular routes and times. So, yes, your average traveler may not always be able to book the flights they want. And in that case, you may want to opt for just a general travel rewards card, one that's not necessarily co-branded with a specific airline. A, you'll have more flexibility. And these cards, they typically don't have blackout dates for any flight. So if blackout flights and wanting to get the flight that you want is a concern, consider applying for just a general rewards travel card. Now, you may lose some key benefits like free check bags and some of those things, and seat upgrades, but you'll almost always be guaranteed the flight that you want.
Chip, I have to ask you, we've talked a lot about it on the program. People have a lot of different opinions. What's yours in regards to buying miles, buying those extra miles, those extra points that the airlines will offer you out of the blue? You'll get that email, and, oh, boy, we got a 50% off on points. What do you think?
Right. Now, buying miles is generally on a case-by-case basis, but overall it's generally not cost-effective because they do cost about 2.5 times more than they're worth when you purchase them rather than earn them. Now, for example, we're going to use our number one program here, the Alaska Atmos Rewards. Those are up 138%, the difference between when you earn them versus purchasing miles.
Okay.
And most programs are about a 25% what they call fair value threshold. Now, the one time when buying miles could make sense to you, in a rare situation, if you need a very specific award flight and maybe you're just a couple of miles short, then it might make sense to go ahead and buy those miles. But even then, it's still always better to earn them through flying, through your co-branded credit card, or even through promotions rather than outright buying them. So the general rule is if the purchase price gives you a profit margin of 25% or less compared with the redemption value, it's probably worth considering. But again, those are rare.
Oh, you're getting into geek territory here now, Chip. Some of the guys who and some of the bloggers are like this. Ben Schlappick at 1 mile at a time is constantly doing comparisons of, if you bought this many miles and you had this many miles and ticket cost this much if you bought it cash. So if you're willing to do that paperwork and that homework, then you can really extract a little extra value out of some of these programs. Chip, let me ask you before we let you go. You said the Alaska program, in your opinion, is the best. What was the worst?
Well, okay, now the lowest one that we had on ours, and let's just give a quick rundown of the top five. Let's see what we have. The top five. Now okay. It's Alaska Atmos United Mileage Plus, Delta Sky Miles, America Airlines Advantage, and the JetBlue TrueBlue are the top five.
So among the major carriers, I didn't hear Southwest pop up there anywhere.
No, Southwest is not on the list here. Yeah, and that's interesting, isn't it?
But also Southwest does not have a first-class cabin. Yeah, first-class upgrades have become very few and far between because the airlines have figured out that if we can't sell the first-class seat for $1,000, when we get down to a few days before the trip, we'll go to our highly ranked members who are in the coach cabin and we'll say, psst, come over here. We got a deal for you. So suddenly the upgrade becomes $500 instead of $1,000, and there are people, probably people like me, who would say, all right, now we're into the territory where that has some real value and it's not just a ridiculous expense. Yeah, I'll go for that. And the airlines have figured out that getting half or a few hundred dollars for an upgraded seat is a lot better than giving it away for free, much to the chagrin of frequent flyers who for years had gotten kind of accustomed to, hey, there's going to be three or four or five upgrades on each flight. So if I can just can weasel myself with enough status to get into that top five, why, then I've got a real shot at it. But that's really not the case anymore. Most flights, there's one or two upgrades, if there are upgrades at all. So when you're looking at frequent flyer programs, don't be deceived by you can sit in first class because that's not going to happen all that often, but you may get, because of your status on an airline, an opportunity to purchase some of those tickets at a good price. Chip, before we let you go, anything else that you want to add about frequent flyer programs we didn't touch on?
Yes, I'll close with one final key point here, is that when you're with reward miles, you have to make sure that they don't expire. And a lot of people like to hoard them and just keep and save up for that one big flight. But the beauty of the top five is that Alaska, United, Delta, and JetBlue Airways miles do not expire in any circumstances. So if you are going to enroll in a reward program, read the fine print and find out how frequently you have to use these miles before they expire.
Yeah, and final thought, even though they may not expire, as Mark has pointed out many times on the program, they will devalue. So, you know, you use them or lose them, or certainly watch them become worth less.
And they can devalue on a moment's notice. I mean, there's no warning. I mean, so that's another thing. It's kind of like the stock market. You have to keep your eye on it every day because it could change overnight.
And, yeah, that's it, folks. Remember, the hotels and airlines are giving away a tremendous number of points / miles to people. And there has to be some accounting for that. So what Hilton has done is just raised ridiculously the price of redemptions so that values your points at least. What some other vendors have done is limited your ability to redeem them so that you can't score on a really expensive date or a really peak period. So it's these are all things to remember, and you've got to start. I personally now am looking at and saying, I just paid a bill for a motor coach this morning, which most people won't have bills like this, but this was $18,000. 3% if you use a credit card. That's $540. So we sent a check because $540 is a lot of money. If I saw it laying on the sidewalk, by God, I'd bend over and pick it up. So even if that bill had been $18, it would have been 54 cents. So somewhere along the line, you've got to decide. Many of us at the gas pump decide, well, I'll pay the extra nickel or dime or 15 or 20 cents a gallon because of the convenience of using the credit card. And a lot of us don't carry cash anymore. But indeed, I think as you see these surcharges added, folks are going to have to. And you mentioned, Chip, something which I sort of agree with you on, is that, they're being allowed to add this in to recover the costs of the credit card processing, unless, as my company does, they've already added the cost of processing that credit card into the price. So now,
right,
they're double.
And there needs to be more transparency in that respect, because that is a shady practice that a lot of vendors do. But just on a quick point, that when you were talking about the gas prices, what you can do is kind of what you could, same way we can do with the airlines rewards program, is that you can use a rewards card that will give you rewards on gas purchases, usually up to 5%, and you will at least recoup part of those costs. So you won't recoup the full reward, but you would be able to offset at least part of those processing fees by using a rewards card for gas purchases.
And if you've got multiple credit cards that offer you rewards, some will offer you 5x points on gas and 5x points on groceries and 1x points on some other type of purchase. So again, if you're playing the game and playing it well, you've got multiple cards and you're using one for grocery purchases and one to pay for your parking and one to buy your sports tickets, because each of those are giving you different value along the way. And that's how you can play the game. Chip, always fascinating to talk with you. Thank you for your information on this. To those who play the credit card game, I wish you well. It's getting more complicated as time goes on. Be well, my friend.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, travel influencers are all over the internet, not necessarily in a good way. Mark has an opinion, and he'll share it with us when we come back, right here with the Travel Guys. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and to our final segment of today's program. And as we mentioned earlier, we're going to talk a little bit about travel influencers. And Mark, based on the headlines that we read earlier today, I have a feeling that you have a bone to pick.
I've expressed my frustration with some of these people before, and this... The one that set me off this week is Avianca Airlines bans and sues influencer over in-flight stink bomb accident. So apparently this travel influencer is on a plane, and he claims that he didn't intend to set off the stink bomb. It's on a transatlantic flight, so there's nowhere for them to go. And he has this stink bomb in his bag, and it accidentally activates and smells up the whole aircraft pretty badly. And the guy says, well, you know, I really didn't mean to do that. I just happened to have it. I do a lot of these kinds of things from time to time. And so I don't know whether he's telling the truth or not. But the point is, with all of this, all of these people, and probably not all of them, that's not fair to say, a lot of the people who are influencers, I believe, are setting up their own content. if you read it, and you especially read the times when things don't quite go the way they want them to go, you know, they're getting on an airplane and they're already filming. On an airplane, there was a Qatar aircraft the other day, and they don't allow people to film on their planes, and they tell you, and there are signs all over the place, and this guy did it anyway. And when they told him not to do it, he just kept doing it. And he said, well, I'll delete your faces later on. And he didn't. And so this is, you know, some places, especially when you're in a foreign country, there are rules that say, you know, you can't tape or film this or whatever, and you need to pay attention to that. Of course, some of these guys think that, and gals think that the world was designed for them, and they're, quote, reporters. And what they are is they're reporters who are going out and creating their own news story, and then they're reporting on it. I mean, you must read this stuff all the time online, Tom, about, you know, travel, influencers all over the place for everything. This is a real occupation for a lot of people and a way to make a living.
Well, at one time, it was primarily people that they were called endorsers, and they were in the broadcast business, and as part of their job with their advertising with the TV or radio station, you were asked to speak on behalf of a product that you used, which you were supposed to use, that you were happy with, and because you were respected by those that listened to you and so forth, you would influence others to give it a try. Now it's just the wild, wild west. And to be honest with you, I pay pretty much no attention at all to especially online influencers. And I take anything that I see that's like you were talking about on an airline, I take it more as entertainment value than anything else. And I think most people should.
Obviously, nobody likes a little kid kicking the back of their seat for 3 hours. But if you're the one who brought the little kid on the plane and set them behind you and told them to kick the seat for 3 hours, why, then there you go. And that's sort of what I'm talking about here is I really believe that a lot of these people are creating their own content. And I just, especially when it comes to travel, they're setting up situations that they know pretty much what's going to happen. And so they're there to record this news, this breaking news, and turn it into an article that will go all over the internet. And what I have to tell all of these influencers is that in many cases, somebody already did it, or somebody's already did it, or 40 people already did it. If I see another article that says, you know, the 7 ways to get bumped up into first class, which is all BS, because the people with status on the airlines are the ones that are going to get bumped up into first class. You kissing up to a flight attendant or something might get you an economy plus seat if there's one open on the airplane and you're a nice person. But it's not going to. And these folks who go into situations intentionally, particularly in restaurants and on airplanes and in airports, and push the envelope enough so that they get the reaction that they're hoping for, and then they're outraged at the reaction. And then they tend to make the situation worse. This guy who is on the airplane and is saying, look, I didn't set off the stink bomb on the airplane, but I do things like this on a pretty regular basis. And anybody who reads him would know that he creates situations like this and then sees how people react to him and judges their reaction and decides that's his story. And I just think that's baloney. It creates a lot of inconvenience and problems for people along the way. If you are an influencer, stick to the facts. Stick to the facts. Tell people things that they want to know. On this program, we try to dedicate a good portion of our time to telling you things that you might not know about. They might or might not be pertinent to your travels or to somebody that you know who travels. But maybe once in a while you can pick up some little thing that will help you get through an airport easier, get to your rental car quicker. Something like that when you're out on the road. But to these people who create situations all the time just so that they can make something happen, on that.
There you go.
And that's just one man's opinion.
Yeah. And I would imagine it's probably a lot more than that as well. It's not my job. I'm not a travel influencer. Wait a minute. I guess we kind of are travel influencers.
I guess we kind of are. And if we don't get our butts out of here, why, we're going to get influenced right off of the air. So can I just say, we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends. Stay well. Thanks for coming along. And next week, 11 a.m. check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com.